Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments over the legality of the Trump administration's tariffs. It's been described as the biggest battle for the president's economic agenda, as a number of small businesses and a group of states contend that most of the tariffs are illegal and should be struck down. The court heard arguments on Wednesday saying the White House had overstepped its authority in imposing levies without input from Congress. If the challenge is successful, tariff payments may need to be refunded, but the Trump administration could use other legal measures to keep the policy in place. Al Jazeera's Patty Gilhane reports from Washington, D.C.
From his first day in office, U.S. President Donald Trump has made clear he really likes tariffs.
A tariff of 10% on China.
Thinking in terms of 25% on Mexico.
We're going to charge them 20%.
Because without the tariffs, our nation would be imperiled.
His administration has invoked a law from 1977 that they believe means they can levy tariffs on any product from any country in any amount and for any reason. Many asked, can they do that? Now the U.S. Supreme Court is set to decide. As expected, the liberal justices expressed doubt because no other president has used this law like this.
And yet, many, many presidents have not used regulate in this way to impose tariffs.
But most experts were watching the conservative justices, who make up the majority of the court, and at least three expressed concern in their questions.
The vehicle is imposition of taxes on Americans, and that has always been the core power of Congress.
So Congress, as a practical matter, can't get this power back once it's handed it over to the president. It's a one-way ratchet toward the gradual but continual accretion of power in the executive branch and away from the people's elected representatives.
For his part, President Trump has repeatedly warned of dire consequences if the court rules against him.
I think it's the most important decision, one of the most important decisions in the history of our country. Because without tariffs, without our being able to use tariffs freely, openly, and in every way, we are really would suffer tremendously from a national security standpoint.
If the court rules against him, it will mean he can still use tariffs, but for a limited amount and time. If the majority of the nine justices rule for the president, he can continue to use tariffs at will, potentially impacting not just American consumers and companies, but everyone hoping to do any business in the United States. Patty Gilhane, Al Jazeera, Washington.
Yeah, very interesting. A lot of the discussion last evening on stations like CNN was about, could the Supreme Court decide that the tariffs were wrong, but because it would be too cumbersome to give the money back, that they would stand? And that's an interesting judicial principle, I think, to have discussed. Anyway, we move on. Cork comedian Chris Kent will be performing his last few shows from his offline tour this month. From touring across the UK, Scotland, Wales and Ireland with two small kids and 100 shows, I suspect life has been very busy for Chris. He's with me in studio to tell me about why he went offline and whether he's back on. Chris, good morning and welcome.
Morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Why'd you go off?
I was on it too much. I think, like everybody, it's very hard to strike a bit of balance with it. And it's involved with my job an awful lot. I'm on there putting up videos the whole time, and I was just over dependent on my phone. I think a lot of people can relate to that, but I was sat navving my way back to my own house. You're switching off your brain. What will I eat? How will I get home? Where will I go? You know what I mean? You're asking too much, I think. And also, I felt like it was really affecting me creatively because I had to write a new show. I was at the end of my previous tour and I couldn't sit down and write for 40 minutes without being distracted by my phone.
A rabbit hole somewhere.
Rabbit hole, or even when you try and put your phone in another room, somebody texts you and you have to, you're bought into it and you're dragged into it again. So I just said, yeah, let's go cold turkey and try it out. No internet. see what happens.
Mm. Now, what was it like living without your phone?
It was incredible, actually. Yeah, yeah.
Good. Also, incredible good or incredible
good,
bad?
Good and bad. Good and bad. So I was very... anxiety went way down because I think you're just too contactable on the smartphones and there's too much stimulation going on there all the time. But in other ways, it was, you know, caused a lot of anxiety because I didn't have my Google Maps and I didn't have ways to get around.
But you were quite disciplined. Once you went offline,
I went off. I went off. Yeah, yeah. I logged off all devices. My wife took over my Wi-Fi, actually. She took that's what I accidentally called her. I called her my Wi-Fi one time by accident. she took over my online world. I was locked out of my iPhone and the internet in my house, the passwords were changed. I couldn't get on my laptop or anything like that. So I really stuck to it. I made a little documentary about it myself and all. And yeah, I was really strict about it to the point where I almost missed a couple of gigs because of not being able to find the venue.
Can't find the gig.
Yeah, not being able to find the venue. So I got lost in Belfast very badly. And it wasn't...
time was if you got lost in the wrong place.
I didn't feel comfortable asking for directions from the colours of the curbstones around me. So, I was really badly lost in Belfast and I nearly missed a gig. I just about got there. One of the guys said to me, my wife is actually driving past your hotel. She'll guide you back. She's driving to Suzuki, hop in your car, drive after her. I pull around the corner and there's two Suzukis pulling off at the very same time. So I was like, who do I follow here? But I got a show out of it and it was really, you know, it was a really great experience.
Now, you talk about writing a show, but so much of your shows is about audience and interaction. We'll have a listen to you actually on stage.
Oh, yeah.
What's your name, sir? Alan Kent.
Go away on that.
Nice one. That's great. Where are you from, Alan Kent? Are you here to tell me something?
Alan Kent. There was easier ways, Alan.
Buying a ticket, you know. Alan Kent. What's your name, sir? Guess your name. What the f*** did you do that? What a waste of my time guessing a name. Guess. What?
Chris.
Chris Kent. No way. That's good, man. That's good. It's actually the only reason you're here. This is from Chris Kent. Wow. It's his birthday tomorrow, is it? Mine too! No, it's not. It is not. What's your middle name, Chris? This is interesting. No. Get the fuck out of town. Is it really David? That's not a lie. I'll have to go find somebody. My name is Christopher David Kent. What? Yeah, you know, he just said it. He just said it. I got all the names, that's why it was good.
So, I mean, you bounce off the audience.
Yes,
and
yes.
When you say you write a show, you can't prepare for that.
No, you don't. But that's like maybe 10 minutes at the top of every show. And then my show is after that. So my show is 70 minutes long. And no matter what happens with the audience, even if we don't get that kind of brilliant bounce and a laugh, the show is always there. So that's, you know, that's just to sort of warm them up and to, you know, have a bit of a laugh with them. And it's all improv as well, so you can just put it out there online immediately.
Yeah.
That's the joys of it. You're not burning
one
material.
One of the clips I saw of you is you're reacting with the guy and his business is electric fences. Now, you are by trade an electrician.
I was, I am a Sparks, by trade. And I went back to it for a while. You know, but they're two very different things. I don't think anyone wants a funny electrician.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Really? Just do the job. What was he like?
A shocking illustration, perhaps.
Shocking. Shocking maybe. Not a funny one. He was hilarious, but we had to move out because he destroyed our house, you know?
Yeah, but the guy with the electric fence, and then you had a great line. about him transitioning.
Yeah, he was moving away from it slowly because he was an electrician. Then he sold electric fences, and I said, "You're trying to step away from it slowly, and eventually you'll be just selling normal fences or something." Mm-hmm. I said, but I just sort of leave my head open to that kind of stuff and just almost not try to make it funny, but just whatever comes out comes out.
Now, when you say you're writing a show, you were in New Zealand.
Yes.
At one point.
That's right.
Did that actually happen?
Yes. It was a long time ago, but that did happen. And I love when those type of things happen to me. And weirdly enough, when they happen to me, it might not make it into a show for 2 or 3 years. It will be percolating in my head, you know? So the story you're talking about is when I was backpacking in New Zealand with my wife. We weren't even married, actually. We didn't have children. So it was free time. Backpacking all over Australia, hostels, and we did this thing called a farm stay. It was on our little, it was like you stay in a farm, you get your own room, you get a home cooked dinner, and it was like, this sounds great. So 3 of us got off the tour bus for the farm stay, myself, my wife, and a girl called Zoe. We were like, this is beautiful, we're here, we get our own room, we get a home cooked dinner. Farmer's wife came out and hugged the 2 girls, went to hug me. I don't like the hug, I was backing out of the hug, so I shook her hand, and I looked down and I don't know, can I say shit?
You've just done it.
she had that on her hand. And I was like, oh, God, why can't I just learn how to hug people? But I didn't have time to worry about it because all of a sudden the farmer's wife's husband came over and the farmer, and he was now going for a handshake. But I didn't want to shake his hand because I still had that on my hand from his wife, you know. So I was like going for a hug and it was very awkward. But he grabbed my hand and I didn't want to leave go of his hand because that was on my hand. And I don't think he's going to be any less pleased if I say it's your wife's, you know. So I just kind of went with it, and I eventually looked down and he also had, I have to say it again, shit on his hand. So that's the weirdest type of relief I've ever had in my life. We then go into the house and he said, dinner won't be ready for a while. Why don't you go for a walk or something? I says, where will we go? He said, Bob's going to bring you guys on a walk. And he whistled and I was like, God, I hope Bob isn't a person. This is very rude. Bob ran into the kitchen, lovely little sheepdog, gorgeous. And I couldn't believe that. And my mind is blown at that. There's a dog taking us on a walk. You know what I mean?
The other way around.
It's normally the other way around, you know. Yeah. You're normally taking the dog. But there's a dog taking us. And it was a beautiful dog. I said, hello, Bob. He came over. I said, sit down, Bob. He sat down. I said, give me your paw, Bob. He gave me his paw. I was covered in shit. That's the record now for that amount of times we've said that. So off we go on this walk, you know, and it's beautiful. And it's literally like Bob has done this 100 times. He's walking off into the distance and bringing us, working up the appetite for the dinner. And we're out about 20 minutes. We get to this red gate and we see a sheep. It was so surreal because Bob stopped immediately. The sheep kind of struggled to its feet and it started to walk away. And I saw another sheep sort of sticking out of the back of the sheep. Like just ahead, Bob got sick. You can only imagine how I felt. And I was like, oh my God, what's going on here? And my wife was like, oh no, the poor sheep unfortunately the sheep had passed. It hadn't come all the way out, you know. And my wife convinced me actually to try and remove it, even though I was just an electrician at the time. I was like, no, I think I'll go get some help. It was very surreal looking. It was like a cute kid's backpack strapped to a sheep's arse, you know. So then I said, you stay with the sheep. The two of ye stay with the sheep. I'm going to run and I'm going to get help. So I run back towards the farm with Bob and I'm running for about 10 minutes and the first person I see is the farmer's wife. She's in the distance. I shouted at her. I said, hello, hi, help. And she wasn't, you know, panicking. And I shouted, one of them is dead. And that got her attention. Me not realizing she might think I was talking about something else.
The wife or Zoe.
I went out with 2 girls. And she was like, oh my God, what happened? And I was like, one of them is stuck inside the other one. And she still couldn't get her head around that. She was like, what were you doing? How did she die? And I was like, no, it's back there by the red gate. There's a sheep and there's a baby calf stuck in the sheep. And the calf is dead, I think. And she was like, oh my God, you idiot. This is about a sheep. And I was like, yeah, it's about a sheep back there. And there's a calf stuck inside the sheep and it won't come out and it's dead. And she said, that's not possible. And I was like, well, it is. I've seen it with my own eyes. And she's like, no, it's not possible. I said, well, it is. And she said, no, because a calf is a baby cow. And then I felt really stupid. But without giving myself permission or my mouth permission, I said, not where I'm from. And she said, really? And I was like, yeah, no, they're called calves in Ireland. And I was just pulling stuff out. Like, I was like, yeah, they're calves in Ireland. And she was really annoyed about that, actually, because obviously her being a farmer's wife, she didn't like being told, even though I was lying. And then she started giving out to me for being near the red gate. She said, you shouldn't have been near that red gate. that's not even our land. You're going to get into trouble, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, oh, I know it was too good. This is your guide dog here, isn't it, Bob? It's actually his fault. He took us to the Red Gate. So if you have a problem, you can blame it on a stupid sheepdog. And she said, that's a Jack Russell. And I was like, not where I'm from. That's an Irish sheepdog if I've ever seen it.
You had a nice feed, I presume, in the end.
We had a nice feed, lamb, actually, yeah. We had lamb in the end. So, and the farmer's wife's husband was, he looked it up that night, actually. There was more to that story. And he was like, no, they're actually called calves in Ireland. And I couldn't believe he looked that up.
Mark from Dublin says, I was lucky enough to see Chrissy and Gory a couple of months ago. It was an absolute riot of a show.
That's correct.
The crowd were in his Derek's throughout. He had us in the palm of his hands.
Ah, thank you.
But here's a question from someone else. I love Chris Kent. I watch those audience clips and find myself wondering, are the UK audiences any crack at all?
They are. No, they really are. I'm very defensive about them here now. They're good crack.
Saw Chris in Sligo, and during the audience interaction, he chatted with an Argentinian, I think, a tourist who was staying in Tubbercurry. When he asked her why, she said, just because she'd never been there.
That's right.
That's
why
she ended up in Tubbercurry.
I was questioning that. Yeah, I was like, why Tubbercurry? No offence, but, you know, no offence to Tubbercurry.
Yeah, but why did an Argentinian end up in Tubbercurry?
Yeah. Why would you
Not many
place?
People do end
of course,
up there.
Of course, I'd be curious about that.
Now, the kind of riffs that you go on, there was a riff you did about sandwiches in Ireland.
That's right, yeah.
And you also did one about telling the time, but that's gone now.
The time is gone. See, that's one thing I missed when I gave up my phone. I was lost a little bit without it because I was like, because nowadays we're all synced, aren't we? Everyone's synced. I have the same time as you, down to the second. Yeah. And the people in the studio, we're all synced up to the second. And I remember time before the internet when hardly anyone, it was rare that people would have the time on them. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And, you know, people would often have a different time. So it was quite an argumentative topic.
You could row about the time.
You would row about the time. My mother used to say to me, don't ask anybody the time because, you know, you'll get into a fight.
By the way, you did attempt several times on stage to solve the housing crisis.
I did, yeah. I mean, I say solve it. Give out about my own experience in buying a house. We were lucky enough to do it in the end, but it took 2 or 3 years. And thank God I never have to deal with estate agents or anybody like that ever again. You know, I don't have to deal with them. We had estate agents because they're... I don't know how you get qualified to be an estate agent. I'm not sure what you have to do, but they're hard to deal with. They're hard to deal with. I went into one house and he was like, you're the first person to see the house. And we came down the stairs and he said, there's been an offer. It's like, where? From who? Who offered you the money? Like, we're the first people to see the house. How has there been an offer? And he goes, no, there's been an offer. 40 over asking. That was something I heard loads. And I was like, okay, look, well, we like the house as well. Can we make an offer as well? And he said, oh, you sure? Yeah. Yeah, we'll make an offer. I said, well, sure, we'll go 50 over asking. And he's like, are you sure about that? And I said, absolutely. And I took 50 euros out of my wallet there and then. 40 grand, though, he was on about, like, you know, it's crazy. And he said to me, no, it's an investor that's buying the house. And he's rang me on the phone. He hasn't even seen the house yet. So I was going, oh, I don't like that. I mean, I wouldn't buy a banana I haven't seen. Here's a man here bidding on a house he hasn't even seen, you know.
So you didn't believe it, full stop.
I was very suspicious about the whole thing. But the house was in absolute, it was in an awful state as well. It was in an awful state.
When you were buying the house as a Sparks, pay particular attention to the quality of the...
And actually, I'm ashamed to say that something I did to try and turn other people off. So when other people were looking at houses, me being a Sparks, I'd still be in my clothes, my Snickers pants or whatever. And I thought, if I create, trying to turn these people off, there's loads of people bidding on the house, I'll just pretend I'm working there. I'd be looking in the fuse board, pretend I'm on the phone and say, no, it's not going to pass. Everything needs to be redone. Very sneaky, I know, but everything needs to be, it's a death trap. And I said, I'm not touching it. You can get someone else to do it, sorry.
Well, for those who want to take their lives in their hands as members of Chris Kent's audience, a few shows left.
Yes.
There's Burr. There's Mitchelstown, Vicar Street, Kenmare, Carnegie Arts Centre, Derry Millennium, the Tullamore Court Hotel, and that's about it,
I think. That's it. That's a wrap on Ireland. That's a wrap on offline. It's been great doing it for the year. Like, and none of it is online as well, so everything you see in the show will be, you know, unless you've seen me already do the tour, then it's brand new to you.
And to check out any tickets that may be left for any of those venues, chriskentcomedy.com venues themselves.
Yes.
Chris Kent, thank you very much for joining us in the studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.